It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. As 2013 wraps up, NPR is looking at the numbers that tell the year's biggest stories, and we're going to focus now on a tragic number. It got us all talking about our clothing this year, where it comes from, who makes it, and under what conditions. Here's Planet Money's Caitlin Kenny with that number.
1,134 is the official death toll of the Rana Plaza building collapse in Bangladesh. The building was home to 5 garment factories. Days after the accident in April, the BBC spoke to one survivor, a young girl named Sonali.
I was on the third floor. After the accident, I was inside the building for 3 days unconscious, lying on the floor. Then I was rescued and taken to hospital. When I got my senses back, I saw my mother was missing. My mother was working alongside me in the factory.
The reaction outside Bangladesh was immediate. 26 North American brands, including Gap, Walmart, and The Children's Place, got together with another group of European brands and came up with stricter factory inspection standards. Jeff Krilla is head of the North American group.
Before Rana Plaza, the factory owners had 26 brands that were coming to them with different requirements. Now you've got the 26 brands of the alliance that are all speaking in one voice. We all now have one set of standards.
With the world suddenly watching Bangladesh more closely, workers in the country saw an opportunity. This was going to be their moment to push for better working conditions and higher wages. I was in Bangladesh a couple months after the tragedy, reporting on the manufacture of T-shirts. And yes, people were talking about Rana Plaza and talking about safety. But again and again, the number one thing factory workers told me that they needed was to make more money. 32-year-old Shumi Hussein worked as a quality inspector in a factory making boys' shirts. Shumi told me something that a lot of workers in Bangladesh told me. Her number one concern was not safety in the factories, but her salary and how much she got paid for overtime. Her number two concern was abusive managers. And so to fight for changes in these areas, Shumi and the many other workers like her in Bangladesh are joining unions.
Akmal.
I met Shumi at this training for new union members at the Bangladesh Institute of Labor Studies. Sultan Udan Ahmed was leading the training. He told me before Rana Plaza, the government was reluctant to give unions official recognition.
There is a negative mindset that if there is a union, then it will disturb the growth of the industry. But because of, you know, all the disaster and everything, there was numerous pressure on government, so government slowly changing their position.
Ahmed says the government approved close to 100 unions in the 6 months following the collapse. These unions can now have official negotiations with factory owners, but they're also taking to the streets. Our translator in Bangladesh, Salman Saeed, captured this sound of police firing tear gas and rubber bullets at a big protest outside the capital city of Dhaka in November. The protests continued for months. Factories were vandalized and forced to close. Some workers were killed in clashes with police. The result of all this activity after Rana Plaza was a new number, a new minimum wage. On December 1st of this year, 8 months after the collapse of Rana Plaza, Bangladesh increased its minimum wage from about $39 a month to $68 a month. But like a lot of agreements like this, it's a number that not everyone is happy with. Surajul Islam Roni was on the government wage board representing the workers.
We are not overly happy about it, but we're fine with it. With this rise, maybe the situation will improve a little bit, but not much. It won't be a really meaningful improvement.
The increase was much less than the workers were asking for. They wanted over $100 a month, and way more than the factory owners wanted to pay.
It's going to be good for the workers. It's going to be a little tough for the owners, but I think we shall survive.
Rubana Hook runs a group of garment factories in Bangladesh making dress shirts and blazers. She says Bangladesh's competitive advantage has been its cheap labor. She worries that if wages were to go too high, Western brands might leave the country. And that worry is part of why the country arrived at this number, at $68 a month. With that new number, Bangladesh has narrowed the gap between its wages and the wages of other big garment producers, places like India and Vietnam. But even with the increase, Bangladesh is still the cheapest place in the world to make a T-shirt. Caitlin Kenny, NPR News.